Joining us now on the show is my good friend Hal Dardick, my seatmate, cubicle mate, up on the fourth floor of Tribune Tower. He is a city and county government reporter at the Chicago Tribune. And, of course, he has been writing extensively about the race for Cook County Assessor. And, you know, Hal, when you think about the office of assessor, it's normally not one that gets a whole lot of attention. But, boy, is it getting attention now.
Yeah, that's for a number of reasons this year. One is because of the tax divide story that the Tribune and ProPublica Illinois collaborated on that showed that the way Joe Berrios's office assesses property shifts the tax burden from the wealthy to the poor in kind of a reverse Robin Hood type of result there. And people have reacted to that in the minority communities, which is bearing a lot of that burden by, in some ways, abandoning Berrios, but it's gained a lot of traction. The other reason that this race has gained so much attention is because Joe Berrios, of course, is the Cook County Democratic Party chairman, an ally of House Speaker Mike Madigan, and folks think if Joe Berrios gets in trouble in an election and perhaps loses, that it could be an indication of weakness in the old guard political democratic organization in both Chicago and Cook County, and maybe even the state. So, and thirdly, the gubernatorial candidates, Chris Kennedy in particular, has made it an issue in the campaign about fairness in minority communities and the so-called Madigan machine. So it's really gotten quite a high profile. And of course, there's been all the twists and turns in the race that have made it.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah, it made me a busy guy.
Yes. Well, and I think what we're seeing here, and obviously we know how Bruce Rauner, as governor, Republican governor, has spent millions of dollars, even before he took office, demonizing Mike Madigan. And when we're seeing Berrios, in some respects, bearing that same kind of demonization in this campaign.
Absolutely. The folks, the more independent, self-styled progressive folks in the Democratic Party have made him the bogeyman, if you will. He's the guy that, okay, look at the machine, if you will, although it's not as much of a machine as it once was, but the old guard machine.
The establishment.
Yes, yeah, that's the right word. So if you look at the establishment, they're harming minorities, and so he's become the symbol for that because of what's going on with the property tax assessments and how unfair that burden is, and that's pretty objective thing to say at this point. I mean, usually you got to say, well, the study found or this or that, but it was even corroborated by the county's own study that Joe Berrios collaborated with. Of course, he pledges to fix it, but folks say, well, you've been in office for 8 years. Why haven't you fixed it yet? And Fritz Kagi, the main challenger, is saying he'll fix it from day one. Then there's and we talk about the twists and turns. Andrea Ralla was placed back on the ballot just last week after like 100,000 early votes were already cast, and so now it's a three-way race on Tuesday.
Yeah, and I mean, the fascinating thing about that, as you point out, you already have 100,000 early votes counted, and there were signs in the polling place saying if you cast a vote for her, it's not going to count.
Right. There were notices. If you got a mail-in ballot, you were given a notice with the mail-in ballot. They were posted in the polling places. And probably all the candidates' biggest nightmare, and mine too, perhaps, is that when all this is said and done, Andrea Ralla could go into court if she doesn't win, which doesn't seem terribly likely at this point and say we should have a special election, a do-over, if you will, because of the way that that worked out.
And the precedent that that could set as well. I mean, we don't do do-overs normally. But again, you know, on the ballot, off the ballot, off the ballot, off the ballot, now on the ballot. And now you have that dynamic as we, you know, enter into the real voting day of Tuesday. We're speaking with Hal Dardick, my good friend and colleague, county government reporter for the Chicago Tribune. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, joined on the phone by Hal Dardick, my cubicle mate and colleague on the fourth floor of Tribune Tower, who's a city and county government reporter, and we're talking about the race for Cook County Assessor. And Hal, earlier you kind of touched on this, and obviously the fact that it's Joe Berrios is not just assessor, but he's also the Cook County Democratic chairman. And we've seen this kind of confluence of events. Yes, we had the tax divide series about issues about inequities in assessment of property and who bears the burden for things. But you also kind of have this issue of property taxes in general. This is kind of a year of, I don't want to say property tax revolt, but it's certainly on everybody's mind. And then you have this whole kind of the anti-establishment, the insurgency kind of campaign going on within the Democratic Party. And this whole confluence of events just seems to be symbolized by the Cook County Assessor's race.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it's something that has become sort of a test point for the progressives. If we can win this race, which, you know, it is a down ballot contest, and people don't know a lot about the assessor, but it's a really important office, you know, because it determines how the tax burden is divided. So if they can win this, it would be sort of a way for them to say we can win these big races and move forward and maybe win more. I also think that the other factor here that I forgot to mention earlier is how certain people in the Democratic Party, Mike Madigan, City Council Alderman Ed Burke, profit from the property tax assessment system by having law firms that make appeals, and if they win these appeals on these large commercial properties, they get substantial payments to their law firms. And interestingly enough, we did a quick look at Joe Berrios's campaign contributions, and in the past year or so, about four-fifths of them came from those property tax appeal attorneys. He interestingly went to court and tried to strike down county limits that he had been cited for exceeding on those contributions. So he brought some attention to this broader issue, the allegations from the progressives that Madigan and others are sort of gaming the system to their own personal financial advantage. So if they can break, you know, and Fritz Kagi and Andrea Rella to have pledged not to take that money from folks involved in the appeals industry. So if you can break that down, you're sort of striking at the heart of a financial way that the establishment, some of the leading establishment folks have profited. So that is another reason why it's a progressive touch point.
Well, and on top of that, I've talked to some long-time people in the city and that are politically active, and they're kind of saying too that, you know, with Berrios, developers, real estate people, they know what they're getting and they know the game, and that it's kind of an understood thing, and that's what's helped make Chicago and all the new development that we have here. And if Berrios loses, then the game has changed. And that understanding no longer kind of exists, that there might be, you know, well, I got a guy kind of thing. But if Berrios loses, that's all out the window.
Yeah, it is. Ostensibly, if everyone lives up to their campaign pledges, right?
Right.
So if it is out the window, it changes the way things work in the city. And certainly big-time developers are used to that. They may be fearful, I would imagine, that they will see higher commercial assessments. The tax divide touched on that too, and it seems like a number of those commercial assessments may not be as high, and that's the cost of doing business in the city of Chicago. It could create a level of uncertainty among folks that have for better or worse, depending on your point of view, come to work within this system and feel some level of comfort. Businesses like certainty, right?
Yeah, right. And well, and then that's the private sector. But then, too, as we said, Berrios being the Cook County Democratic chairman and ally of Speaker Madigan, then you would have, you know, kind of an upheaval within the Cook County Democratic organization. And, you know, we kind of go back a year ago, and it's like, you want the county Democratic organization's endorsement if you're running for office. You want the establishment endorsement. And here again, we come into this wave where it's, you know, against the establishment.
Right, right. Interesting enough, Chris Kennedy sought that endorsement, didn't he?
Right. Well, yeah, he goes, but then later, like, well, this is a smoke-filled room. I don't want anything to do with it. I mean, look, every candidate, you as well as I know, back when they were doing their slating, they want the endorsement.
Sure they do. And there's advantages to that, of course. You have committeemen and throughout the city and suburbs with organization that know how to get the vote out, and that's Joe Barros's advantage going into this election. He's got some of the committeemen like Jesse White and Mike Madigan, etc., who have strong organizations and can get out the vote. And the progressives are constantly trying to fashion sort of ad hoc grassroots organizations to do that work. So it'll be a real test of the ground game.
Yeah, and that's, quite frankly, that's where we're, despite all of the TV ads and everything that are flooding your TV set and the mailers and the mailbox, I mean, we're down right now to the ground game, and it's going to be very interesting to see how that develops in the Cook County Assessor's race. Hal Dardick, my good friend and colleague, the Chicago Tribune, thank you so much for getting up with me this morning. And,
thanks for having me.
It's not like we haven't had any long days lately, right?
Right. hopefully not that many more to come, but we'll see.
That's right. The sun will come out tomorrow. Thanks, Hal, so much.
Thank you.